Good evening, everyone, and welcome to
Queers in the News,
the weekly program for
homosexual queers.
Tonight's guest host is Dr. Michael Schultz, who is now in the delivery room at Good Samaritan Hospital, where two very excited homosexual queers are about to experience the wonder of natural childbirth. Dr. Schultz?
Hello, I'm in the delivery room right now with Gerald Flynn, who's the father of the baby and who seems to be holding together pretty well so far. Were you taken by surprise when Bernie said, let's go to the hospital?
Well, as you know, the baby is 2 weeks early. So surprise was hardly the word for it. It was more like the shock of the century.
But everything went all right.
Well, it's an absolute madhouse, doctor. First, I was trying to get Bernie's clothes all packed, but he just leaves everything in piles all over the floors. Wherever he takes his clothes off is where they stay until someone picks them up. So I'm running around like a crazy person with Bernie's things flying in every direction like a cyclone.
Oh, Gerald, it's coming, Gerald.
We're all right here, Bernie. Now, Gerald's going to help you just like we rehearsed in the classes, and everything's going to be
Gerald,
fine.
I'm so scared.
I'm here with you, Bernie. Just think about the beautiful baby we're going to have and keep counting the contractions.
60 seconds, Gerald. I can feel the baby, Gerald. It's coming.
You're doing marvelously, honey. The baby's going to be beautiful. We'll just put him in that darling little denim kimono that Sean made for him, and everything will be
Gerald,
all right.
I thought you were going to bring that outfit that Phil gave us at the shower.
Well, I would have, but I couldn't find it underneath all those heaping piles of your clothes all over the floor.
If you would treat me like a person instead of your slave, maybe I might feel a little more like keeping the place spotless.
Well, what place, bitch? I've never seen the place and all the clothes everywhere.
Gerald, my baby, it's coming, Gerald.
Oh, Bernie.
Congratulations, Bernie and Gerald. What a lovely baby.
Its eyes open and closed.
Thank God it's normal, Bernie. You have been listening to
Queers in the News,
a weekly program for homosexual queers.
Queers. Close the door to your world, embrace the darkness, and walk with me as we join John Adamson, master criminal.
Tonight's episode, John Adamson steals the crown jewels of England.
Now let's see. I noticed there are a great deal of people in the building here looking at the jewels. I guess I should wait until they leave so they don't see me taking the jewels.
Hey, watch where you're going.
Oh, excuse me, miss. I was just fantasizing to myself how one might burglarize the crown jewels.
Oh, I see.
Perhaps you'd like to join me for a stroll down to the hardware store for a crowbar and a sledgehammer.
Gee, why do you need all that stuff?
It's a secret.
Master criminals never divulge their true activities to anyone.
John Adamson cleverly maneuvers his way to a hardware store other than the closest one. His stride easy.
Pardon me, sir. Can you tell me if this particular sledgehammer would penetrate a thick sheet of glass, like suppose the one around the crown jewels?
Well, I guess so.
Thanks for the info, pal. Of course, I'm actually going to be using the sledgehammer for an entirely different purpose than the one stated in the example I just gave you.
Oh, very good, sir.
Avoiding suspicion is a very important technique employed by master criminals.
John Adamson proceeds to a nearby telephone, his stride easy.
What number are you dialing, please?
Organized Crime 73426.
Thank you.
Yeah? Oh, hello. Father Flanagan?
Yeah?
This is Mr. Adamsburg from the Royal Jewel Corporation, and I was wondering if you wouldn't be interested in acquiring one of our exclusive variety packs for, let's say, $300 million.
I'll give you $500 cash.
You've got a deal, Father Flanagan.
A successful master criminal leaves nothing to chance.
John Adamson, his stride easy, launches phase one of his foolproof plan.
Hello?
Hello, Queen Elizabeth. This is John Adamson over at 356 West Hampton Street, number 45. And I was wondering if you couldn't send all of the men guarding various things around the various government buildings, such as the Crown Jewels, for instance, over to the other side of town for some reason.
Pardon me?
Oh, I remember what the reason was. The guards need to go over there for a group photograph that I'm making of all the public employees in England. Why don't you come along, too?
Master criminals are extremely proficient at the art of diversion.
John Adamson enters the room containing the Crown Jewels through a door that he has found to be open. His stride easy.
I wonder who all those guys in the uniforms are. Oh, well, While the guards are being diverted to the other side of the city, I'll just smash the glass. These other bystanders in the uniforms will think it's just another loud noise.
Would you come with us, Mr. Adamson?
I didn't do it.
A seasoned master criminal always has an airtight alibi.
This has been another episode in the continuing adventures of
John Adamson, Master Criminal.
I'm a particularly happy guy tonight, Vern, because we've got quite a unique gal with us here in the studio.
That's right, Vern. She's lovely Cheryl Finley from Tucson, Arizona. She's one of those rare individuals that kind of makes me feel real proud to be a part of a program like ours where it's possible for the rest of the world to meet special people who have done special things.
How true, Vern. Cheryl Finley, how are you this evening, Cheryl?
Fine, Vern and Craig.
That's excellent, Cheryl. Now, I don't know whether the audience knows this or not, but this fine young lady is legally blind.
In other words, without her glasses, Cheryl cannot see a thing. Am I right, Cheryl?
That's right, Vern and Craig.
But as is so typical of today's determined, self-reliant young people, Cheryl has conquered her serious vision problem, and I might add, against odds that all the doctors and specialists in the country had given her, saying that she wouldn't.
What are you going to do for us this evening, Cheryl?
Well, I'm going to cook a potato without my glasses.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Cheryl Finley, without the aid of her glasses, is going to cook a potato.
Let me have your glasses, Cheryl.
Okay, here's the potato, and here's the pot. Ready? Go.
Little does Cheryl know that Craig has given her a baseball instead of a potato.
How's it going, Cheryl?
Oh, just great.
How's it going now, Cheryl?
It's almost done, Vern and Craig.
It's almost done?
Almost through with the potato, Cheryl?
Oh, just about ready.
Look at these glasses, Vern. Gee, I didn't know Jupiter had 9 moons.
Okay, it's all cooked, Vern and Craig.
Yeah. Great job, Cheryl. Thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. Can I have my glasses
sure,
back now?
Sure you can, Cheryl. They're right over on the table there.
Little does Cheryl know that Craig has substituted a mouse trap for Cheryl's glasses.
Ah!
Boy, Vern and I are having some fun tonight. Vern, I've got another letter from Joan Embry, that tall, blonde public relations gal from the San Diego Zoo.
Uh-huh.
So I'll just go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Dear Vern and Craig, your John Adamson Master Criminal segment was a real hit here at the zoo, as was the bit where you had the two fags going through natural childbirth. But as you must know by now, my reason for writing you is to wish you good luck in torturing the small, cuddly animal that I have sent you in the accompanying crate. As always, Joan Embry.
Well, 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 Craig. It's a baby kangaroo.
Cute as a button, Vern.
You'll be interested to know that kangaroos, being members of the rodent family, have no capacity for burping. They're physically unable to release gases from their systems, Craig.
Oh, how interesting, Vern. Perhaps our little friend here would like a taste of my Fresca.
Ooh, really seems to go for it, Vern.
No kidding, Craig. Here, little fella, have another bottle.
Hey, maybe you'd like to play on our electric paint mixer.
Sure he would. I'll just snap him on, and here we go, little guy.
Boy, he's having a good time.
Well, that just about does it for the kangaroo, Vern.
Sure does, Craig.
Good night, Vern.
Good night, Craig.
That's us, Vern.